If we go into the Gospels and we look at Jesus' life, we begin to see not only how he lived, the things that he did, but the things he wanted us to know. Sometimes he just laid that out, but sometimes he did it in the form of questions, you know, that would come to him and how he would respond and answer. And somebody once asked him, which is the greatest of the commandments? I'm not sure that that question came from an honest heart that just would like to know, or there, you know, there are a lot of divisions and strife and different people competing against one another, and they thought, well, if we could get Jesus on our side, or if we could get him to give an answer other people didn't like, then that'll make them upset. So here's what he said. If we go to Mark's gospel, it says this. Love the Lord. This is Jesus speaking. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, your strength. And he said, I got another one for you. Love your neighbor as if you were loving yourself. Put your neighbor on the same priority list that you've got yourself on. Treat them the way you would want to be treated. Why does Jesus tell us? Because Jesus wanted us to know what we call now the great commandments. He wanted us to know that what needs to drive our lives, that what needs to move our lives, to guide us, needs to be love. Love for him, love for the Father, love for our neighbors. That's what needs to be working in us. That needs to be our motivation. Why we do what we do. Love. But it's not just the commandments that we need to hold on to. It's something more. After Jesus had risen from the dead and before he ascended into heaven, he gave this commission. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus wanted us to know the Great Commission. He gave us a commission. He just didn't. He didn't say, see ya, I'll be back. Do what you want until I get back. He said, no, here's what I want you to be about. Here's where I need you to go. As you are going, make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them. Help them grow in their faith. So we have the great commandments. We have a great commission. These two things inform for us as we are wondering, who are we here at ECC? Who is ECC? What are we about? And whether you are new to us and just trying to figure out about Ellettsville Christian Church, or if you have been around for decades and you just need this reminder, remember the great commandments and the great commission inform what we call a mission statement. Something that seeks to kind of remind us why we exist, what we're here for. Here's our mission statement. It is, why we exist is to be about building a community of believers that loves God and those around us. Do you hear the great commandments and the great commission in all of this? Building of a community. How do we build a community? By making disciples where we're at. That love God and love others. This is why we exist. We don't exist to play water polo. We don't exist, you know, just for chili cook-offs. Those things are fun. Picnics. We don't exist just for those things. Those things are tools, things that can help us, but that's not why we exist. We exist so that we have a growing community of believers, that anyone who wants to know about Jesus can learn about Jesus if they walk through the doors, or if they encounter us, if they come into our homes in a small group, that people will learn, will be introduced to Jesus. Some will say yes. Yes to Jesus. I want him to be my Savior. I want him to be my Lord. I want to follow him. I want to put his teachings into practice in my life. Some will say, nah, not interested. Jesus had the same experience. Jesus would teach. Jesus would heal. Jesus would do miracles. And people were coming all the way around. And there would come a moment. Kind of a bait or fish type of a moment. Bait or fish moment. You know, are you in or are you out? And sometimes Jesus said, here's something I really need you to do. And some people said, no. No. Don't think so. And they would walk away. Jesus didn't suddenly, okay, wait a minute. Offer number two. Let's negotiate. Let's come up. What do you want? How can I get you into my kingdom? Jesus let people walk away. That's hard to do. But he did. Because what he was doing was introducing them to the kingdom. And we introduce people to Jesus as well. So we want this to be what we are going to do. Now, organizations have found it's helpful to have a mission statement, to just keep reminding them why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing. There's a phrase that we have in the world that's called mission creep. Maybe you've heard this. Mission creep is just bit by bit you move away from your original mission. Bit by bit. And you see it in a lot of different ways. And sometimes it looks good. You know, why do you go to Kentucky Fried Chicken? You go for fried chicken, right? But if they said, hey, we're going to start making burgers, because there's a whole lot of people that like burgers, part of you would say, really, is that what you do well? You go to Taco Bell, what do you go for? You go for the bell, right? No. You go for the tacos. And they've got all sorts of different ways to make a tacos. But if they came out and said, you know what we're going to start making? Lasagna. You would say, I'm not so sure about that. Bit by bit, we can, trying to come up with different stuff, we can move ourselves away from what we originally set out to do. Sometimes we have what's known as a shadow mission. A shadow mission. We say, here's our stated mission, but there's other things that we want to accomplish. This oftentimes happens to individuals. You know, we say, I really want to do a good job at this, but what our shadow mission says, well, what I really want is to be noticed. Or what I really want is just to make a lot of money. We say this, but then we have this little shadow of an idea that affects and infects everything that we do. We need to come back to this mission again, which, remember, it's about building a community of believers that loves God and those around us. And we need to hold up everything that we try to do, everything that we think of, up against that mission and say, does it match us? Does it help us fulfill that mission? But a mission statement, it holds kind of a place. It's kind of a little bit of an anchor. Then there's a thing called a vision statement. And a vision statement kind of takes that mission statement, and vision can change from time to time, because it's kind of what's going on the ground now, what do we need to do, and how do we need to fulfill that mission. So we have also a vision statement ourselves. And here it is. What we want to be is a community where we all connect, grow, and serve in Christ. Now, if you were to plug in those words, connect, grow, and serve, into Google, you find there's a lot of churches doing that. It's not super original for us, but you know, sometimes the best ideas are not super original. But for us, this is what we are trying for, what we're aiming for, where we're headed. To be a place where we can connect, where people are not just on the periphery, where they're not just attending, they're not just walking through the doors and then out the doors, but have a connection here with us. And then where we can grow in our faith, where we can grow as people. We can grow in our relationships. But growth that has no outlet is always problematic. And so we need to make sure that we are serving as well. That we're taking in what we're taking in and sending it back out again. Using our gifts, using our talents, our treasures, our abilities to help build a community of believers, to help fulfill the Great Commission, to help people know that there is a God who loves them, to help us express in very demonstrable ways that we love them as well. Now, here's what we've done recently. This is a very practical message. I want you to know, because part of what we're doing is trying to kind of use this time here to help people know who we are and remind ourselves. Leadership has been working on a 3-year plan of how we can implement this vision. And I want you to know, as we go forward, and you're already starting to hear a trickle of things about, you know, this, the guy survey. This is kind of a part of this. Earlier in the spring, we had a survey for women. This is kind of a part of this. And so what we've done is taken the connect, grow, and serve, and we've said, here are some things we want to accomplish. So the first one under connect is this. Here are a couple of things we want to do. Now, I've kind of rephrased some of these things to kind of make them fit in this place. Each one of these, some of these have their own things, but here they are. First off, one of our things we want to do is we want to have increased engagement of families who have young children. Now, one of the ways that we wanted to do that was to hire a full-time children's minister. Check, got that one done. And in less than 3 years, we're ahead of schedule. So we're feeling, you know, that is part of it. Why? Because we want to engage people who have young children. And we wanted someone who could help us do that. A person will also be working with the team to kind of help us, not just focus on the children, but help us focus on those families. And to let them know that we love them, that we believe the kingdom has resources for their lives. We also want to make sure and kind of, in some ways, redevelop and promote a path of engagement for all. This series is actually kind of a part of this, of trying to kind of remind people who we are, what we're about, how do you connect, how do you come from way out there, you know, in the community, not knowing much about ECC, to how do you become a part of the fabric of the kingdom here at ECC. We want to help people grow. That's why we are working to develop comprehensive women's, men's, and prayer ministries. Each one of those has their own thing, but I just put it all here in one sentence. So that we have a group of women who've been working on this, surveying you, finding out things, working with others, and bit by bit you'll see more and more of that come out. The same thing with men's. We've got some things coming up, and you see these announcements and saying, here's where we want to go, and we want people to come into it. And what we want you to know is that as we do these things, you'll see opportunities for how you plug in, how you become a part of it, not just as a participant, but as a leader as well. And how do you bring your voice and how do you help us reach out? And we build a vibrant small group ministry. We've talked about how important small groups are, so we want to make sure that our small group ministries are healthy and available and accessible. And then we want to serve. And so what things we want to do is we want to make sure we're working on creating an awareness of and accessibility to ministry opportunities, both here within the church and out in the greater area. So that you can say, I'd like to serve. Where can I serve? Here's that place. And so that information is being gathered so that we can help you find that place that matches what you bring to the table. Because we all bring something different. We also want to help provide support and direction for those who are in seasons of pain, loss. Now, that's a lot there. That's why there's 3 years. Some things will get done sooner. Some things will take a little longer, and that's okay. But this is where we're trying to go. Because if we don't, you have to ship. Has to set a course, right? You have to set a course. Where are we going? Because if you don't, you just can go anywhere, which can be fun in some respects. But if you're on a mission, you need to know where you're going. Here's a little exercise I like to give people. I may have done it here once before, but let's do it again. Just think with me for a moment. Ready? Get your thinking caps on. Loosen up here. I don't know why I'm doing this, but here we go. All right. You're on a trip. You're going on a trip to Los Angeles. Now, in your mind, begin planning that trip. You say, whoa, I'm not going to tell you any more information. Just in your mind, begin thinking about a trip to L.A. What do you begin thinking about? Where do we go? So you begin to think about things like, well, how am I going to get there? When am I going to go? What's a good time of year to go? How am I going to get there? Who am I going with? And you begin thinking, well, and then you begin to ask yourself, well, why am I going? Why am I going? Now think about that just for a moment. So you think, okay, Los Angeles, do I want to drive or do I want to fly? Well, if it's a business trip, you want to get in, get out real quick. Maybe you're just going to fly. And if it's a business trip and you've only got so much time, you'll say, well, it doesn't matter where I stay because I'm going to be in a hotel. They're going to be in a conference. They'll tell me where to stay. I'll go there. I'll go to the conference, do what I need to do, and then I'm going to come back. But if it's a vacation, now you begin to think, well, maybe I want to drive. A lot to see between here and Los Angeles, right? Maybe you think, do I want to go to Disneyland? Do I want to go down to Hollywood and do that Hollywood Walk of Fame? Do I want to go to the beach? What do I want to do? You begin thinking through all these different things. Now, here's a question. You're going on the trip. Which way do you go out of your driveway? It may, depending on where you live, you may go left or right, depending on, am I driving? Or am I flying? Every road you turn on may be determined by, am I flying or am I driving? Now, here's a question. Now, I want you to do this. You're planning a trip to Seymour, Indiana. Anything change? See, here's the two things that we have to kind of think about when it comes to making our decisions on this stuff. Where are we going? And why are we going? Those will guide everything else. Where am I going? Why am I going? The same is true for us as a church. Where are we going? And why are we doing it? And if we lose sight of those things, then we get mission drift. We get mission shadow missions. We get all sorts of things. But if we can remember where we're going, why we're going, what are we doing, bit by bit, things come into focus for us. And so we have to keep coming back to this. You may have noticed we've talked on our values several times since we've done that. Why? Because we need to keep remembering them. We need to keep remembering our mission and our vision and coming back to that and keeping it in front of us. Why? So we don't get off mission. So we don't have that mission creep. Why do all this? Why go through all this and remind you and teach you and go to the trouble of planning and trying to get other people involved in the planning and execution of these different things? Why? Well, let me remind you that Jesus came with a mission. If you go through the Gospels and just look at this phrase, he said this, says this several times, I have come to. And you might say the thing, I've come to call sinners and not the righteous. I have come that they might have life. I have come. And he just, this, here's my mission. Here's why I'm here. Here's what I'm about. I came. The where is, I've come to you. The why is to call you back to the Father, to give you hope, to bring you the kingdom. Jesus didn't just come and say, well, what's going on here? Jesus came with a mission. And through the Great Commission, we continue that mission on forward, of bringing the good news to this world. Jesus, he also had a vision. I'm not talking about, you know, some mystical vision. He looked at things. You know, one of the things he said is, take a look at the harvest, guys. What do you see? It's white. What does white mean? It's white for it. It's ripe. It's ready. The mission, there's plenty of harvest. What do we need? More harvesters, more laborers. He came and he saw that this world is hungry for Jesus, hungry for truth, hungry for grace, hungry for hope. Here in the West, we've become very cynical. If you go throughout the world, you'll find that people still hear the gospel as good, as hope, as words of life. And know this, our God is a planner. Scripture basically reveals that when God is thinking about the universe and a planet and putting people on a planet that he could have a relationship with. If he's going to have a relationship with them, he's got to give them free will. But if they've got free will, they might choose to walk away from that relationship. And so what does he do? Take away the free will? No. He devises a plan to rescue us from ourselves. We see it in Genesis 3:15, where he says that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. A promise about Jesus coming one day. We're told that Jesus was already slain from the very foundations of the world. That is, the plan was already in place that Jesus would die on the cross. The plan was already set for God himself to empty of himself of all that is his godness, so to speak. You know, all of that power, everything, that the word would become flesh and dwell among us and reveal to us grace and truth, and then would die on a cross to atone for our sins. That plan was put into place before he even said, let there be light. Our God is a planner, so there's nothing wrong with us planning. And that plan was fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross. When he laid in that cold tomb. And then when death itself could not hold him, and he was wrenched from death's cold grip, and the stone was rolled away, and he came out fully alive. We remember that. We remember all of that, and we proclaim it week after week after week. We remind ourselves because we need these reminders. When we take out that little piece of bread, and I know right now it tastes like styrofoam, but we can deal with that. And we work real hard to kind of get that little plastic lid off without spilling the juice on us. It reminds us that death and resurrection are all messy things. And then we take it, reminding ourselves, proclaiming, this is us. We have a mission. We have a vision. We're working on plans. And my prayer, my hope is as you see an opportunity to step in and be a part of that, that you will do so. This is us, an imperfect people with a perfect God, seeking to live out the great commandments and the great commission in this place, in this time. Remember that. As we take communion together here in these next few moments, as we take it together, whether you're watching us online or you're in this room, we take it together that we might remember we are not just a bunch of individuals. We are a bunch of individuals who make up a singular body. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for this opportunity that we have to remember through the bread and through the cup, the body and the blood of Jesus that was already slain. It was already planned before the very foundation of the world, before it all began. And we thank you, Father, that in this moment that we have, that we recognize it's not just about me. It's about us. Help us to remember and know that this is us. And we are us because of you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.